I believe what you learn today will change your life. I believe that there is life transforming power available right now. You know, the anointing will save your life. The anointing will bring revelation and insight. The anointing will give you instructions of how to make it through whatever is going on in your life. I encourage you to get away from all the distractions. If you are watching in your bedroom or watching in the living room, I want you to settle down. I want you to focus. Get yourself a pen and a paper. The notes are online. And I want you to give God Almighty access to your innermost being. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy written word. Thank you for grace deposits and truth impartation. Father, you are holy. And you know what? You deserve our attention. There are so many things that's pulling for our attention. There are so many opportunities to be distracted and miss the truth of your life-saving word. We reverence you and we love you. We're so grateful for this moment in time. Speak divine mysteries into our hearts. Give us understanding and insight. Give us revelation and truth. Father, show us your glory. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in the authority that you gave us when we said yes to Jesus. Open up your word to us today. Show us how to establish your kingdom. Show us how to walk in your way. Show us how to lay down our will and surrender our lives to your purpose, to your call. Show us how to reproduce Christ in the earth. I pray for a supernatural shift right now. An urgent desire for every listener to begin to pull on the anointing. Allow that anointing to be fresh and powerful. And now, in faith, we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen. So be it. Let's go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. While you're turning there, I'm going to introduce today's message. Because we're in a spiritual battle, what we do and say, it really matters. The flow of the Holy Spirit, in order for you and I to flow in the supernatural, it's important for us to yield to the anointing and allow the anointing of God to make room in our lives. You know, the Holy Spirit will fill whatever room we give him. If we give him access, he'll come in and fill that space. I'm asking all of us to yield. You know, when you begin to hang out, this is what's required. In order to be led by the Holy Spirit, it requires time with him. What we do should be his work. That doesn't happen if we don't spend out. We don't spend time to find out what his work is. You don't flow in the Holy Spirit. You don't flow in the direction that God is going without stopping your own agenda in hearing what he is saying. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do today. I know there's plenty of distractions. What I'm asking you to do is when you pray, don't pray in order to be heard. Don't allow the stress and the pressure to cause you to pray so strong and powerful in order to be heard, begin to pray with a listening ear so you can hear what God is saying. What is the Spirit of God saying to you? What is he saying? What is his desire for you specifically? That has to be done intentional. Listening and responding to the voice of God brings God results. And that's our subtitle. We're on Walking in Authority, Part 3. Our subtitle is Getting God Results. The anointing is defined, not the anointing, the authority. I'm obviously going to be talking about the anointing today. That keeps coming up. The subject matter is authority. Authority is defined the power or right to give orders, make decisions, enforce obedience. Synonyms for the word authority include power, jurisdiction, command, control, charge, and dominance. Now, Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19 reads, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. It's important for you and I to underline and highlight the word all, because that is in there intentionally. And whenever you're going through a trial or a tribulation, whenever you're going through something, while you're going through it, it's easy to omit the word all. It's easy to remove that from your understanding because of the current situation, the attack or whatever is going on. In order to stand on the word of God, we have to receive the word of God for what it says. And it says, behold, I give you, he's talking to believers, the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. He's talking about the devil and evil spirits, and over all the power of the enemy, over depression, over anxiety, over worry, over stress, over every evil work. Power has been given to you if you said yes to Jesus, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What a powerful word. This is our foundation text for this scripture. And authority, you see, when Jesus gave the authority, he didn't give it back. He didn't take it back. Your authority is God-given. Your authority that's been delegated to you is voice activated. It requires you saying something about the situation. You know, you can't continue, shouldn't continue, allowing the situations and the circumstance to talk louder to you than anything else. Don't allow worry, stress, fear, strife, tension to be loud and driving you. Don't allow your need to get something done to be the loudest thing that you hear. Allow the word of God. You need to begin to talk back, speak back to the situation. You need to say, no, I have authority over this situation. Your authority is voice activated. What are you saying about the situation? Don't agree with what the devil is doing. Begin to talk back. Begin to cause a shift in the atmosphere because you're created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. Authority is yours. Use it. Godly results come from guarding our inroads. And what I mean by inroads, there are certain inroads that we allow things to get into our mind and get into our hearts. The most powerful inroad that is under attack is our thoughts and our words. It's important for you and I to guard what we think and what we say, because ultimately what you meditate on, what you feel in with your imagination, you begin to give voice to, and that's what has an inroad into your heart, into your life. Don't give Satan the inroad into your life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 says it like this. It says, neither give place to the devil. What I want you to hear in that, it says, give place. That indicates you or I surrendering room for the devil. It says, don't give him place. He takes whatever place that we give him through thoughts, words, emotions, and actions. Satan will take advantage of whatever you give him. The principle is a thought becomes your own when you speak it out of your mouth. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 says it like this. It says, take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. When you say a thought, it's you taking it. My go-to example is a FedEx delivery. If you don't sign for a FedEx box that requires a signature, you never take ownership of it. What you say, what you come in agreement with, becomes yours. Don't ever allow things like this to come out of your mouth. My allergies are killing me. My asthma is really acting up. My diabetes has got me going today. Don't begin to create pet names for the attacks that the enemy is putting on you. Don't take that symptom by saying it. I know it's cute. I know people laugh at it when you call different diseases by different names, but that is not cute. You have authority. Use that authority to defend what the enemy is trying to do, how the enemy is coming against you. What we say has power to produce results in our lives. The enemy of your soul will suggest things and flash images across your mind in order for you to come into agreement with it so that he can have an inroad in your life. If you give voice to what the enemy is saying or showing you, that's you taking ownership of it. That's you allowing it to be birthed in your life. You know, let's go to Psalms chapter 141 and verse 3. Psalms 141. And verse 3, here's the thing, family, sickness, disease, stress, pressure, fear, and worry ain't yours. I know ain't's not proper English, but you know what I mean. It does not belong to you. Stop fighting to hold on what the enemy has given you. But you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand all of what I have to do. You don't understand all what's coming against me. Jesus does. And here's the deal. Fear, worry, and stress has never added to your life. You worrying about something has never made that something come out good. However, it has created anxiety, headaches, ulcers. It has aided the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. When we look at the Word of God, when we trust the Word of God, when we lean on His truth, that's when we can benefit from the abundant life that is made available. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to continue to allow the enemy to have his way because things are pressured? Because there is a real need for something to be done, but should it be done by you or your Lord? Should it be done by the one who died on the cross on your behalf, the only one that has the answer? Whatever the answer is, whatever the need is, Jesus Christ has the answer. Don't stress yourself out trying to figure it out. Don't stay up all night. Allow him, trust him to move in your life. Do you really trust him? Do you really give him place to take care of your children? Are you really dependent on him to take care of your job? Are you really dependent on him? What an awesome time to trust God with everything. The reason why Jesus said to cast our cares over unto him is because he can handle it. You know, you are not even wired to handle that load. You're not wired to handle that amount of pressure, strife, and stress. It will break you down and it will steal from you. Don't own the attacks of the enemy. You're redeemed. You're whole. You're set apart. You're free. You are an overcomer. That's who you are. That's the word that you should be holding on to. Not, I'm not going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Begin to rehearse the truth of God's word. You are blessed. You are too blessed to allow stress to overtake you. Refuse to speak anything that's contrary to what you believe God for. Psalms 141 and 3 says this: Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. You see, what you agree with will produce results in your life, good or bad. It is right for us to say, Lord, help me watch my mouth. Lord, set a guard. Oh, watch over the door of my lips, because good or bad comes from what you and I confess, from what we release into the atmosphere. We need to be constantly aware of this truth, that our words are releasing death or life all the time. You know what's I'm hearing in my spirit more than anything right now? Family, this is life or death. You and I need to depend on the word of God, because our lives are at stake. It's not a light thing. It's not a simple matter. Life is at stake. There's a scripture that says that when we find the word of God, it gives us health. It is life. I want you to grab hold of that. Understand that you living or dying is what we're talking about. The word of God is the only thing that never fails. The word of God has truth, instructions, and directions to help you and I live a victorious life. It's available. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 and 21 is another proof text to the statement we need to be constantly aware of what we say. Listen to this, Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. It says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from what he says, from the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Look at verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. You ever notice you talk about what you love? It's easy to hear what somebody loves because they talk about it. They talk about what's in their heart. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue is powerful. What you say makes a big difference. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. The fruit of your lips is feeding faith or feeding fear. The power of your tongue is helping you or hurting you. Family, don't be hung by your own tongue. Don't allow your tongue to snare you, to trip you up, to snuff life out of you because you think it's a light matter. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Let's go over to Luke 6:45. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The overflow of your heart is going to come out of your mouth. What you have filled up on inside of your heart, you are going to speak. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. Every word you say out of your mouth is a seed that produces after its own kind. Matthew 12, 37 says, for by your words, did you hear it? For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Now, don't take that word condemn and run away and say, oh my God, highlight the justified part. Highlight do you see the good in that scripture? By your words, you will be justified. That's the life side. That's the blessing side. You don't have to be condemned by your words. You can be blessed by what you say. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Family, if we don't understand how important our words are, we will speak forth fear, doubt, confusion, frustration, anxiety all the time. If we don't take the time to understand the seriousness of the power that you have, that I have in our tongue, we will trip ourselves up over and over again. You know why? Because it's easy to say, my head is killing me. It's easy to say, this kid is going to be the death of me. It's easy to say, and you know what? The majority of people around you will laugh. I know that's right, girl. What a horrible confession. Understand who you are. You are a child of God. You are a king's kid. You are made in his image and his likeness. It is not. Someone just thought, oh, it doesn't take all that. Understand who you are. If you weren't a child of God, you good. But because you are made in his image, in his likeness, power is at the end of your confession. Yes, it does matter. You know, words are forever. Words are spiritual containers going somewhere to be opened. You know, I'm reminded of some words that was spoke to me years ago. I don't remember how old I was. I might have been 18, 19. But I had a man, a father figure in my life, tell me I wasn't a man because I didn't know how to repair cars. And the way he said it was, what kind of man are you? Because I didn't know how to fix my own car. And look at how clever the devil is. My dad was a master mechanic. My dad was not in the household. We grew up without my dad. So the devil started piecing things together. See, your dad left you because you weren't good enough. And see, this man recognizes you're not good. You're not even a man. And the devil began to attack my mind with me not being a man. How many of you have had something said to you at a young age that the devil sends something else later to reinforce. God loves you. God thinks so much of you that he made you in his image, in his likeness. God approves you. God thinks so much about you, he calls you a masterpiece. Don't allow the lies and the attack of the enemy to short circuit the goodness of God that's available. You see, the purpose of reading the Word of God is to get truth on the inside of us. So there is a thing called the law of replacement. If you have, let's say you have some red Kool-Aid. Some of y'all never had red Kool-Aid. Let's say you have some red Kool-Aid and you have some clear water. The law of displacement would be you taking that clear water and pouring it into the cup until all of that red Kool-Aid was removed. It spilled over and was out. And then all you have left is clear, crystal clear water. You have to put the word in you to get some of that junk out of you. And I know I'm not by myself. I know that you have had some negative words, some negative seeds that was planted into your life at a young age. The Word of God will displace that mess. The Word of God will get that junk out of your heart. The anointing is set up to where it destroys the yoke. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is an attachment. A yoke is a shackle. A yoke is bondage. The anointing destroys the bondage, the attachment, the yoke. It's important for you and I to allow the, you know what? Without the anointing, we are nothing. Now, let me talk to ministers and pastors for a second. Without the anointing, we're just talking. It's all about the anointing. The only way you get light in your life, the only way you get understanding and revelation is because of the anointing of God. You can be a great speaker, a great orator. You can give a great talk. A talk doesn't save lives. A simple talk is not setting people free. The anointing destroys the yoke. The anointing, the tangible presence, the manifested presence of Almighty God will cause you to no longer be addicted. It'll cause you to no longer fall back into that old life. It'll cause you to no longer allow the lies that the devil told you when you were a child to continue to haunt you and dictate your ability to receive the goodness of God. It's about the anointing. We must receive, believe, and walk in the anointing. 2 Corinthians, thank God, you finally got there. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 4 reads, "Whose minds the God of this age," notice little g, "has blinded who do not believe." How important is it for you and I to believe? Please see the connection. Allow this insight to be yours. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded who do not believe. When we fail to believe God, the Word of God, we're blinded. It goes on to say, "Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Why is that important? Shining on us is light. It illuminates the darkness. It shows us where to go and where not to go. If we don't believe, If we allow situations and circumstances to attack our belief system to such a degree that we release hope and expectation and fail to believe and trust God, we're blinded and we lose sight. That's what the enemy, the God of this age, is trying to do in all of our lives. Listening to the wrong words will steal your sight. Listening, believing in the wrong words will steal light away from you. Let's be intentional about spreading the gospel truth. The easiest way to spread gospel truth is to share your testimony. What has God done to you? Have you said yes to Jesus? Who have you told lately? Share gospel truth. You know, there is no life in your testimony until you share it. A gift, because your testimony is a gift. A gift is not a gift until you give it away. If you purchase a gift for someone and they never receive it, it's not a gift. It's a gift when it's given. Window shopping is okay for a little while, but when it's time to receive, in order to have a gift, it has to be given. Share your testimony. Share the gospel truth. What has God done for you? We need to constantly think about, because what we think about is what we bring about. We will become what we talk about and what we do. The way it works, you think about it long enough. What if? I kept thinking, man, that's right. You know, maybe I'm not a real man because my dad did leave me. I don't know how to make cars. I don't know how to fix cars. I hate working with cars, for the record. Oh my gosh. If I meditated on that, if that was all I thought, if that's all I thought about, I would bring that about and that would become my reality. Here's the principle. What you meditate on, what you talk about, becomes large in your life. You can meditate, you can focus on, you can talk about how bad things are. And the more you do that, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Or you could talk about your God, how good he is, how great he is, how he brought you through last time, how he's a faithful God, how he's an all-knowing, trustworthy God. You know what that does? It makes him bigger than the situation or the circumstance. It's important. What you magnify gets large in your life. Don't let your emotions move you to empowering the enemy on your life. Don't let him blind your mind with unbelief. Choose to be a believing believer. Understand the authority that has been given to you. You know, James chapter 4, verse 7 talks about submitting to God and resisting the devil. Contrary to what religion says, God still loves you. Contrary to what your past will present to your mind, God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he is desiring his results in your life. There's a real value in submitting to God. If we violate God's instructions, we're choosing to obey the lust of the flesh. We're choosing to obey the enemy. James 4:7 gives us great advice. Submit to God. Resist the evil one, and he will flee from you. You don't want him with you. You want him running from you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Understand the authority that's been given to you. Adam and Eve were given power and authority over the entire earth. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. That word subdue means take control over it. Having dominance. That's taking. Subduing is taking. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You know, I was teaching years ago, and I had someone challenge me. They was misunderstanding what I was saying. And this is what happened. I was teaching along this line, and I began to talk about tobacco comes from the earth. And I said, you know, you shouldn't be addicted to tobacco because it comes from the earth, and God gave you dominion over that. Well, I had a minister challenge me and say, well, coffee beans come from the earth. Are we supposed to have dominion over that? And I said, yes. I wasn't trying to teach my own conviction, which he was accusing me of. I was saying, we don't have to be addicted to nothing. We have dominion. We can be free from everything. You don't have to have one vice. You don't have to be addicted to a little something somewhere. You can be free from everything. You have dominion. God is not okay with us being addicted to anything. God's desire is for you and I to be free. When God created man, he spoke dominance. He spoke authority over them. And that same authority hasn't been taken back. You know, Lucifer was eavesdropping, and he heard God give the newbies all dominion over the earth. And he was like, wait, they get a planet? Come on, I'm the praise and worship leader. You know, what about me? He looked at what God was doing from a perspective of what about me? You know, so you're going to raise them up over me? You're going to cause them to have more than me? Ever since then, he thought God was withholding something from him. And you know what? That's the strategy he uses today. When Lucifer fell and became Satan, his strategic methods are, see, if God was a good God, he wouldn't allow that to happen to you. If God is so good, how can he allow this? How can this be happening if God really loved you? What he wants to do is to plant doubt in your mind and cause you to think God is holding out on you. He wants you to think that God is saving a little bit. And Luke chapter 10, verse 19 shows us that God gave us authority. God gave Adam and Eve everything they needed, and he was not withholding anything from them. And the devil came in and said, look, see, he's holding that from you. That's the strategy that he's using today. God is not withholding from you. God is not trying to take you through something. God is not punishing you. You need to write that concept in your mind. You need to fix that perception. Stinking thinking will kill you. It'll cause you to be robbed from. It'll cause you to be stolen from. And it'll keep you from the abundant life that Jesus died for. His desire. See, all it is, Satan desired their authority. He wanted their authority. He didn't understand how God could do this. This revelation will bless you and it will add to you. God has you and he's given you everything. Every single attack of the enemy is rooted in that mindset. God approves you. God loves you. The reason Satan seeks who he can devour is because when you stand on your authority, he's trying to get that same authority, the same authority that he was after in the garden. He's trying to get that out of your life. Because when you say yes to Jesus, you begin to walk in authority. He wants that authority. He's after what you have. This deception has convinced people all over the world that God is mad, that God is taking them through something so they can get closer to him. Let's wrap this up today by looking at our application piece. How do you get God's results in your life? Let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. How do you get God's results in your life? Number one, make up your mind to serve God regardless. Stop rehearsing your breaking point. Stop confessing, if one more thing goes wrong, I don't think I can make it. Stop rehearsing your breaking point. This is why Paul was so successful in his faith walk. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in regard of to need, for I have learned, this is a process, in whatever state I am, to be content. What a powerful lesson. It goes on to say, I know how to abase and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, the people of Philippians 4:11-12 are the people of Philippians 4:13. Let's read on. Philippians 4:13. You see, Paul didn't say, why is God doing this to me? I served him for years. How could he let this happen to me? He could have said that because Paul went through a lot. And I'm convinced that Paul was part cat. That dude had 9 lives. He went through all kind of stuff, and he stayed focused on the goodness of God. What a powerful lesson for us. What if we didn't have a breaking point? What if we set our hearts to serve God no matter what? Number 2 says, focus on the goodness of God. And that's what Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When did Christ strengthen me? How did Paul come to the conclusion that he could do all things? Because he was abased and he was abound. He had need. He had plenty. And the end results of him going through verses 11 and 12 came to the conclusion of verse 13 when he said, I can do all things. You know why? Because Christ strengthens me. You don't need strength when you're strong. You don't need strength when everything is going right, when everything is going for you, when everything is going just how you planned. You don't need strength. You need strength when it didn't work out the way you prayed. You need strength when things are going wrong. You need strength when you don't know what to do. You need strength. You need to allow him to strengthen you when you don't know where you're going to turn next. Focus on the goodness of God. In application, number 3 says submit to God. We looked at James 4:7. When you submit to God, the devil has no choice but to flee from you and go find somebody else who he may have an opportunity to devour. You know, trust God above all else. Submit to Him. Run to God when things aren't working out. Run to God. Don't hang out in guilt, shame, frustration. Submit to God. Run to God. And the enemy that's attacking you, who's bringing the guilt and the shame and the frustration and the fear, leaves. How many people get stuck in guilt, fear, shame, unbelief, and hang out with the devil and allow the devil to hang around? You see, when we submit to God, that's when he has to flee. When you get yourself in trouble, when you don't know what to do, submit to God, run to God. Number four, renew your mind and adjust your actions. Renew your mind and adjust your actions. Why do I say adjust your actions? Because sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you can afford to pay, and it will keep you longer than you ever planned on staying. Adjust your actions. It's not enough to renew your mind and say, okay, I know better. I know what to do and what not to do, and then not act on it. Renew your mind and adjust your actions. Number five is hold on to the love of God. You may not get it. You may not understand all of what's going on. However, the love of God is still present in your life. That's when we begin to talk about Romans 8, 38 and 39. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? And I'm not pretending to know what's going on in your life. I'm not sure how the enemy got in and stole from you. But I do know the love of God is still able to keep you. I'm not sure why things didn't work out the way you were praying. I'm not sure why that didn't turn out the way you were believing. But I do know the love of God is still able to hold you, to keep you. His love is still present. I'm not sure why this happened. I'm not sure, and I'm not going to try to put myself in that position to have the answers. I don't know how you're going to get out of the situation. I don't know what caused the situation, but I do know it's the love of God that is able to keep you. And you need to make, I need to make a bold declaration. Nothing, let's say that together. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. Say that again. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. What a bold, firm confession. That's how we have to make our stand, because when we run to Him, when we submit to Him, the enemy, the one who's attacking, the one that got us in the place in the first place, has to leave. Submit to God, and He will flee. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bless each and every listener. Bless each and every viewer. Father, you are a good, good God. I agree with each one of them that made that bold declaration that nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. Father, thank you for teaching us by your Holy Spirit. Now help us to hear you clearly. Show us what we need to do or stop doing. Help us to fulfill the goals, dreams, gifts, and callings that you put inside of us. Let boldness arise. Speak to each person hearing my voice. Give them faith to step into their God-given authority. I come against all distractions right now. In the name of Jesus, there's a woman who's listening right now. You've been troubled. You've been distracted. There's been so many things bombarding your mind. The Lord wants you to know that He loves you and He's calling you to Him. Will you come? Will you stop the distractions? If you need to close the door where you're viewing right now, if you need to grab your device and go somewhere else so you can hear what the word of the Lord is saying to you, do it now. God did not bring you this far to leave you, to forsake you. You are going to make it through. This attack of the enemy is not unto death. Your loved one is going to live and not die. Begin to rejoice. Begin to see them healthy and whole. Allow the anointing to penetrate the noise that is distracting you. I come against all distractions. In the name of Jesus, I call forth light, life, freedom, peace, and joy. Father, I pray for those who've been crying out to you. Show them that you are right there for them. I pray for those who, someone has a shoulder injury. There's a right shoulder. If that's you, put your hand on your shoulder right now and begin to do something that you couldn't do before. Begin to move your shoulder. The anointing of God is on you right now to be healed. Folks, when you receive your healing, we want you to communicate with us and let us rejoice with you. Tell your testimony. Keep moving it. Healing is for you. I come against all distractions right now. Quiet your mind. Listen with your spirit. Don't outthink it. Just receive. I come against every form of lack, fear, every form of poverty, stress, strife. I boldly declare a release of faith right now in the name of Jesus. Right where you are, be infused with hope. Begin to expect the answer, the solution, the finances. Father, we thank you for your supernatural power been made available through willing vessels. And now I pray for anyone who have yet to say yes to Jesus. If you have yet to say yes to Jesus, open your heart and pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I take you at your word. I know it's not a coincidence that I tuned in today. Help me. I believe in my heart that Jesus died on my behalf. I receive Jesus into my life. I confess my sin, and I believe Jesus has just saved my life. Thank you, Jesus, for making me whole. I receive everything you have for me. And now fill me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you into our lives. I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Right where you are, just begin to rejoice. Begin to just praise God. You know, and if you shift over into another tongues, go with it. You know, it'll be a language that you don't understand, a language you never spoke before. Go with it. Allow that utterance to begin to flow out of you. That's your heavenly language. You know, we're so grateful for each and every one of you that have chosen to come and hear the word of God. We know without a shadow of a doubt that the word of God will make all the difference in your life. You are greater. You've been added to because of the word. The word of God is incorruptible. It is indestructible. And because you've opened your heart, you've been added to. God bless you. We love you. Keep feeding your faith and starving your fears and doubt to death. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We'll see you soon.